Meryl.
Malka. He's not on yet.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Anna.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Hannah.
Can you smell the latkes?
My whole house smells like latkes right now. I had to open the back door to let some fresh air in.
That's funny.
We're preparing them for Zod Hanukkah. You know, after they cool, I'll freeze them, and then we'll call them lazy latkes because I didn't do it the hard way this time with paring potatoes and grating and all that. I used the hash browns, and they came out wonderful. They came out really good.
I bet they did.
Hanukkah Sameach.
Okay.
So we are in the Parsha of Vayera. And we're in section one. And Pasuk 2, and we'll start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Shabbat Yichud, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu, Le'akta, L'shem, Yudhei, Fobavhe, Le'yehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu koneinu aleinu maasei yadeinu koneinu. Pasuk 2. Kegavna da shemaim la yehavu chelim leara ad yata adam hahidikti vekol siyah hasadeh. Terem yihye be'eretz v'kol esev ha'sadeh. Terem yitzmach ki lo chimtir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz v'adamayin la'avod et ha'adama. Itama kol inun, ko Adin Wila Itgalum Ushmaya Itakalu Tila Amtiru Al Ara Begindi Adam Ayin Tila Ishtaka Wila Itbere Wikola Itakyav Kevinea Kewandit Haze Adam Miyad Hanitzanim Niru Varets Vikol Chayalin Itamaru Itgaliu Vichyahivu Ba. The translation: similarly, the heavens did not give any powers to the earth until humankind appeared, as it is written. And no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet grown, for Hashem Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. All the offspring and products were concealed in the earth. They did not appear, and the heavens were prevented from pouring rain on the earth because humankind did not yet exist, because it had not yet been created. The revelation of all things was delayed. As soon as humankind appeared, however, the flowers appeared on the earth, and all the hidden and concealed powers were now revealed. My commentary. This pasuk teaches us to follow the energy, to learn the proper and truthful order of the process. Do not follow our own perceptions. Follow the energy to understand the law of cause and effect is the minimum energy that will be used to accomplish a goal. Since if the goal was man, there was no need for plants to grow. There is always a process of potential followed by actual. Is potential the cause? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I was thinking it was the seed level of the earth, the potential. I always think, yes, Hashem hides things, but it's for us to seek them out so that they can be revealed. And so I wasn't quite thinking along the same level of cause and effect.
Well, that's all right. It's just,
you know, another way to look at it.
Kabbalah is expressing cause and effect. Mm-hmm. Potential and actual is cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the seed level of the earth, the seed level of everything, but what is the goal?
The goal is preparation for man to be created.
The goal is man.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no need for any of the potential to become actual until there is a consciousness, or a man has a consciousness to perceive what is being revealed. You know, there's two jokes, and you know them both, but I will tell them again. If a tree falls in the forest and there is no one there to hear it, did it fall? And the answer is, if there's no one there to hear it, it didn't fall.
Mm-hmm. But what if you go 2 months later and the tree is down? Just there wasn't anybody to hear it when it fell. Oh,
when you see it, when you see it lying on the ground, that's when it fell. Because
mm-hmm.
if there's no one there to perceive it, that the fact that it's lying on the ground is what you perceive. And that's when it fell. until you perceive it, it doesn't fall.
Mm-hmm. Does that go along with when you throw the ball and it actually cracks the window before it hits the window?
But you can prove by videotaping and then slowing it down, you'll see the window crack before the ball hits the window.
Okay.
Because there's people, somebody threw the ball, and there's people around who will recognize it, and the window knows that it's going to be broken, so it starts to break. But the other joke, if a man is in the forest and the tree is falling, is he still wrong?
And I didn't hear it. I think I heard something. Say it again.
The answer is yes.
If the man is in the forest,
okay,
and the tree falls, is the man still wrong?
What's the last word you're saying? I don't know if my ears are full of latte smoke.
W-R-O-N-G.
Wrong. Oh, okay. Well, if it didn't fall on him, I guess he's not wrong.
If the man is in the forest walking by himself and the tree falls, it's obviously that he got into an argument with his wife and he's still wrong.
Okay.
That's right. That's right.
Well, you know, right and wrong, you know, that's two sides of the same coin. I learned that in this class. Maybe not with right and wrong, but with other words.
Yes, right. Pasuk 3. But what the second pasuk is telling us is consciousness is everything. Without consciousness, there is nothing. There's no creation. There's no perception. It takes consciousness. And it's a lesson that is very difficult for us as human beings to really recognize.
And I think when you finally reach a point of consciousness in one area, it's because you've had, I guess I could put it like this experience, this piece of knowledge, this, you know, and then all of a sudden the revelation comes. So it's like you said in the beginning, it's part of a process that you reach that point.
Absolutely correct. And when we study the Tikkuni Zohar, which we'll do in our 7 o'clock class, that's really what the Tikkuni Zohar is emphasizing. What are thoughts? Thoughts are consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The window breaks because the ball was thrown at it, but what is the consciousness of the window? The window is serving man. The ball is serving man.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that the ball is hitting the window, the man's consciousness is creating that effect.
And by the same token, the tree was made for man, created for man. So.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about if you go into the store to buy a couch and you buy this couch.
Yeah, I thought that was really something when you said that. Or the dress buys you. Or the couch buys you.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. These examples really come together.
Pasuk 3. Et chazamir higia, pit Tishpechan, Tikuna de Tushpechan, Bazamra Kame, Kudshabrihu, Madila Ishtekach, Adla Itere Adam, Wako Hator Nishma Beartsenu, Damila de Kudsha. Berichu dila ishtakach, bealma ad itzbere, Adam kewan di ishtakach, Adam kola ishtakach. The time of the singing of the birds has come, means that a recital was composed of songs and praises to the Holy One, blessed be He. This was not done before humankind was created, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. This is the word of the Holy One, blessed be He, which did not exist in the world before humankind was created. But as soon as humankind appeared, everything appeared. My commentary. Our Midrashim, like the Perek Shira, teach that each animal sings praises to Hashem. They could not sing praises since animals do not speak. Now that man was in the world, the Psalms and the Proverbs were available to the animals, and they could sing, yet they still cannot speak. So how can they sing? In the spiritual worlds, their thoughts are speech, and they can hear. What barriers and limitations do you break and remove with this explanation about the voice of the turtle dove? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think when man sings praises to Hashem, and of course it's coming from the turtle dove, which is the Torah, That's what I see out of it.
First off, what is a turtle dove? Is it a regular dove or a species of dove?
You know, I never looked it up. I just remember telling you that one of my students, because some translations don't say dove, it just says turtle. I remember that came out one time, but we've talked about how the dove mates just once, and
the dove mates for life, correct?
Yeah. Although I did have a person tell me she raised doves, and that wasn't true, so I didn't get into any further discussion with that. But
if you've never read the Perek Shira,
I have many times. I'll go to it often because there's so many different animals that appear around our area. We always feel like it's a message. There's a message attached, like that time I saw a mouse run into my house.
Right.
One came in. Because they were building two new homes in a section of the subdivision that had been just pasture land almost. And I'm sure it stirred up a nest. And
I highly recommend that people read it and then start to ask the question, why does this animal sing that verse? Mm-hmm. And it's an excellent Kabbalistic exercise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that particular little mouse, I think you helped me with it, and when I looked it up and the message and gematria and all the things that I did, it was a positive message, very positive.
Yeah.
Even though it mouse in one room, I was able to keep it contained in one room by putting a towel under the door until we were able to get it, but it was trying to eat through the baseboard to come through the wall. and just overnight, you know. So, but it was a positive message, so it was, you know, something I don't remember anymore, but I did keep a record of it, so I'll have to go back and check. It's not just the animals. I mean, even the plants. You know, like we know the apple with gematria has the tetragrammaton in it, and our go to the moon plant, and most of the time
I believe somebody else wanted to ask a question. What passage are you referring to? It's a midrash that's been translated into English, but it's every animal. It actually starts with the sun and the moon and the stars, and then it goes to all of the trees, the plants, all of the animals, and each one is singing a song of praise to Hashem for its creation, for its inner essence. And so it really is well worth reading. You can find it on Amazon, and it's titled Perekshira, Perekshira. There's a few English translations. The one that I found the best is done by the Zoo Rabbi. And if you don't know his name, I forget his name, but if you Google Zoo Rabbi, you'll find him and you'll find his translations. And we have some classes on our website for an encyclopedia of animals that he really hasn't completed. And we didn't ever complete the classes, but they're well worth listening to as well.
Well, my text is a small one. It's the size of a paperback, although it's hard cover. But it was less expensive than the big volume. And it's
this one that he did has a lot of commentary that he brings.
Well, I'm sure I don't have his copy. I think it on the shelf, but I'd have to go get it to see.
Understood.
It kind of looks like art scroll material, though. You know, very colorful pictures, and gives you the scripture verse in Hebrew and then in English. And then there's several books out that I have on animals in the Bible. I have a couple of those, and they're good, too, as well as plants in the Bible.
Were there any other questions?
Hanok, did you say zoo, like Z-O-O?
Yes.
Rabbi?
Zebra, orange. Okay. Zoo Rabbi. That's his nickname. He does travel to the States. He lives in Israel, and he does travel to the States and gives what are they called? Shabbatons, or the scholar in residence weekends from all over the country, mostly in the large Jewish communities. And he does have an email. It's called the Rationalist something or other. He does not, his basic approach is scientific because he's a zoologist, and he is always in conflict between the mystical and the rational, and he comes down on the side of rationalism. And he gets into conflicts with the various rabbis of today, because they're always saying that what the Talmud said is true, even though the science has moved forward, and they'll say others. One of the most important teachings in the Talmud, not that it's an important teaching, but the conflict in the Talmud, it starts with the rabbis who say that the maggots that infect meat, when it spoils, are created spontaneously. They come from nothing. Because 1,000 years ago, you didn't have microscopes. You couldn't see the eggs that were laid by the flies. And so the maggot appears, but it doesn't have an egg. They don't know where it's coming from. And so the Talmud said, based on the science of its generation when it was written, that the maggots come spontaneously. And his conflict with that is, obviously, we know there are eggs laid by the flies, and that's where the maggots come from. And so he keeps saying to the rabbis who say that the Talmud is correct and true, because they're saying that the maggots come from nowhere and we just don't know. But he's saying, look, science has grown, science improves, science learns, and we should learn to read the Talmud with the understanding of the science of our generation. And I like to read his essays in his email because it gives me a different perspective, keeps it more rational than the typical Kabbalistic mystical aspect. And with that, I'm going to say we're out of time.
Okay.
Okay.
If you have a tonight's class will be a Tikkuni Zohar class, so I hope you'll join us. It's at the 7:00 West Coast time. And shalom to all.
Shalom.
Tomorrow there is a Jewish history class that's at 11 a.m. West Coast time. And that that class will be on the relationship between Hanukkah and Christmas, since it's tomorrow is the 25th of December.
Oh,
shalom to all.
Hello.
Thank you.